Hey guys, it's me, Russell Peters here. You're listening to my podcast, Culturally Canceled. Now, before we get into this episode, I want to let you guys know what shows I got coming up in case you want to see me live. So from June 3rd to June 5th, I'll be in Bridgeport, Connecticut at the Stress Factory. From June 10th to the 13th, you can catch me at the Irvine Improv in Irvine, California. From July 9th to July 11th, I'll be in Ontario, California. So if you're in California and you want to come see me, you got a choice of June or July, whether it's Irvine or Ontario. I'll also be in Oklahoma City. I've never been there. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. August 5th to the 7th at the Bricktown Comedy Club. Now, there's always more shows being added, so keep checking russellpeters.com. All right, this episode is hilarious. We say some foul shit on this one, so please don't get offended. It's just us being us. It's me and Ari Spears acting like comics. And we have Big Daddy Kane, the legendary Big Daddy Kane, Mad Skills, legendary MC, Lord Finesse, legendary rapper, DJ, producer, my brother. He's family to me. And obviously the hilarious Ari Spears. This is just part one of this conversation. Part two will be the next episode. And let me tell you something. This episode is one for the ages. I'm really excited about this one. I've been telling people about it since before it came out. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed making it. So here we go. Hey, it's Russell Peters. Welcome to this episode of Culturally Canceled. Today, we have, I really want to make this an assorted show, but it is rapper heavy. But, I mean, it's rapper heavy with heavy rappers. So, beside me on my left, all the way on the left, is my brother Lord Finesse, who is also a resident here at the West Wing. And he doesn't have a mic, so when he does want to talk, I'll have to pass him one. Beside him is the rapper formerly known as Mad Skills, now just Skills.
No, it's Mad Skills.
Is it still Mad Skills?
Yeah.
Well, what is this? Yeah. Why, you're not mad anymore?
I just stay with it.
I thought you weren't mad for a while.
I was.
No, they are.
Now I'm mad again.
They be mad in their 20s. When yeah. they get older, it's time to celebrate.
You're almost 50.
In a hip-hop world, it's abundance of.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go with that.
You went from Mad Skills to Angry Talent. And beside me on my right, the youngest cat to ever do Def Jam, and a brother who I met in Montreal. He doesn't remember this. I met him in Montreal 25 years ago. I said, hey, man, get me on Mad TV. And he said, get yourself on Mad TV.
I know I didn't say it like that, but I might have.
Basically, that's when he looked like Mace.
I got you.
My brother Ari Spears is beside me.
What's up, baby? What's up?
And then beside Ari's is Dark Gable. You know him and love him as, the ladies love him, but he's the only rapper that ladies loved and men wanted to be other than LL Cool J. And he made Dark sexy again as my brother. Big Daddy Kane is in the house with us.
Yeah.
You got to use the mic, though, Kane.
Much love.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, can I have this moment?
You don't have to sound sexy for us, Kane. It's just four dudes. I mean, you could be cool today.
I'm going to lose my cool for a minute.
Go
I'm trying
for it,
to keep
Aries.
My composure. Sir, I want you to know that I'm 46. So me and all my crew grew up on you. And to this day, my brother loves you to death. And if he was here, you know, I would say it. I was rehearsing it because I didn't want to mess it up. But the whole BIGDADDYKENE, we had that memorized. So when you was rocking, we was rocking. So it's an honor, man. You're a pioneer and a legend, dog.
Nah, brother, man. You're a great talent yourself.
Thank you, sir.
I've always admired, man. And, you know, your impersonation skills are impeccable, man.
Thank you, sir.
Much respect to you.
Yes, sir.
Well, we got that out of the way. How do you feel about Skills?
I'm just here, man.
I'm happy to be around my era.
Yeah, well, that's why.
I know a lot of y'all won't say it because, you know, or maybe you will, but I know because of the whole East-West Coast beef, we got to learn to embrace each other regardless as to how subjective the talent is. But I'm not a rapper. I'm a comedian, so I can say it. Shit today is garbage, man.
Oh yeah.
So I to be around my era where I came from Skills, wordplay, metaphors, punchlines, means something.
Yeah. Skills is one of them cats too.
Yes.
Although I've never come from him. I've enjoyed his music.
Shut the fuck up. Oh man, listen, for me to be here next to Ness, you know what I'm saying? Ness already know how I feel about him. Like Kane is I tell people all the time, I've told him before, like he is directly a part. It would be no Mad Skills without Big Daddy Kane. I watched him. I studied him. I had a flat top. I wanted to put punchlines together, metaphors.
Matter of fact, your first album, you had a flat top on it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? For me to be here, you know what I'm saying, sitting down with comedic greats, hip-hop greats, I'm happy. It's a good day.
And Finesse, you never had a flat top, did you?
Nah. Never had.
You was like a shaved head or braids?
Fade and a half moon, you know, that was my thing.
That's right. Yeah. And then you grew into Eddie LaVert, so that's where we're at today.
It's going to be abundance of jokes.
Yeah. It's going to be ugly.
I think the older you get, the smoother you got to be, man. I don't see me throwing on certain gear to fit in with the younger crowd.
Hey man, I'm sitting here in a goddamn troop jacket.
He's
shooting darts.
Yeah.
You never had Marvin Gaye worried about New Edition, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, that's real talk.
What was your? Did you have another name? But you had another. Come on, you know you had another.
My first rap name?
Yeah, yeah.
My first rap name was The Funky Orator. Let that live.
Did you have another name, Kane?
Yeah.
Go ahead, kid.
My first rap name was MC Kane, but when I was DJing before I was rapping.
Right.
My DJ name was Sir Romeo.
So, geez,
Sir Romeo.
Is that when you were DJing for Shantae?
No, I was just Kane then. But I mean, back in like 81.
Oh, okay.
Yes, DJ Sir Romeo.
Dope. DJing at 13?
Yeah.
God damn. That was when you was, you're the first guy to hit me to Pete DJ Jones.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know about him until we started hanging a while ago, a long time ago, and then you told me about him.
Pete
I was like,
DJ Jones.
I didn't know about him. Then I did my research and saw that he opened for James Brown, right?
Yeah. You talking about Flowers. You talking about
right.
Flowers.
Right. Flowers open for James Brown.
Yeah.
But they're around that same era, aren't they?
Yeah, late 60s. Yeah. Like PDJ Jones, you know, he had like the whole DJ crew and, you know, like Hollywood was part of that crew. And like, you know, they was like doing parties, like, you know, on the reg. And like, that's where that voice come from, that first hip hop voice, you know, like when you
hear. Coke LaRock type style.
Come on. You know, yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah.
You seem like you was shocked when you said DJing at 13.
Yeah, I mean, I started at 15, and I thought I was early.
I started at 14.
Yeah, but you're different.
See, that's that to me is, again, when you talk about what makes hip-hop from our era so much deeper, is because I go hard on these young kids on social media. And, you know, I hear some people go, man, take it easy, man. They just kids. And I go, Nas wrote Illmatic when he was 19.
Right.
Kane did his thing at 13.
Right.
So stop with the excuses, man. Step your game up.
Yeah,
but skills don't matter anymore. Not you, the actual talent doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to say that. And I don't mean talent Harris. I mean talent, actual talent.
Well, you know, when you, when you're accepted as a real music genre, and that's what hip hop is now, now officially a real music genre. In a situation like that, you know, you're absolutely right. Like the skills don't matter because, you know, you have a lot of major pop stars, major rock stars that don't really have, you know, skills. You know, they just got hit records.
Right.
And that's the way hip hop is right now, where, you know, you have major stars that
I wouldn't say they're hit records, I say they're popular. Because a hit to me is something that's gonna last.
A smash to
me. I mean,
me
I ain't gonna put nobody
gonna
on blast, but there's a lot of people that got songs that lasted and they can't sing for shit.
No, that's true. Listen, we're not talking about Keith, so we're talking about
hilarious.
We're talking about this generation, Kane.
I mean, for me, like I look at it as, you know what I'm saying? Like it's always a case for me where I knew my parents didn't like what I was listening to, so I don't expect to like what my kids listen to.
Yeah, but I don't know if that flies, because even though I couldn't understand it, I knew Michael Jackson was special. I knew Whitney Houston was special.
Right.
I knew the stylistics was special.
Right.
So, and like you just said, good music lasts a lifetime. You know, this Michael Jackson, until he started looking like a Japanese woman, lasted how many generations? He spawned decades.
But my question is, all right, so if the art form itself, and just to play devil's advocate, if the art form itself is like 30 years old, nothing stays the same for 30 years?
No, but what stays consistent is quality.
True.
Quality doesn't
change. I give you that. Now you gotta understand. Like I said, I'm just being a devil's advocate here. When I was in my room listening to hip hop, my mom was in the next room losing her mind. I'm listening to Fuck the Police in my room.
Right.
Right? So she ain't supposed, that's not music.
But she came from an era where you didn't curse to be romantic. You know what I mean? True. It was a certain way you did your business.
We also came from the non-cursing to be romantic era, but when it came to hip-hop, it was different. Like, when I heard, I think the first time I heard Silk, I was like, what the fuck is this? Let me lick you up and down. Like, we lost our imagination? And now I'm listening to, like, I heard this song Weekend. It was like, she gave me head four times. And it's like a really dope song, but then you listen to the words, and I'm like, come on, Abel, what the fuck you got to ruin the song with? She gave me head four times.
I don't even know who the artist was, man. I was doing a gig in Ohio. And, you know, when the club is over, a lot of times the staff listens to music
while they clean
as they
up.
And I just remember one dude said the lyric basically was, he said to the girl, can you work my dick like you scramble them eggs? Now, it didn't make sense to me. And two, I just went, is this what we're doing?
I was about to ask you to explain
are we doing this now?
Nah, he had a spatula fetish.
I hate, for the rapper in me, I hate a punchline that's got to be explained. If the shit got to be explained, then it didn't do its job.
Right.
Like, I'm supposed to hear it and go, oh, not, what was that? You know what I'm saying?
You know, but let me just say this real quick, because I think that we had this discussion.
Right.
As an MC, that's something that I actually always like doing. I like giving a bunch of free punchlines that the average person can get, but I always love to try to put that one joint in.
Were you going
to
rewind that?
Yeah.
Right.
I want you to figure
that?
It out. Yeah. I want you to figure it out.
Right. Dude, let me tell you something. I recently put out a post. God rest his soul. DMX was on Def Poetry Jam, and he was talking about the industry. And he had a line in it where he said, they want you to walk like this and talk like that. But I'm going to walk like this, and I'm going to talk with the bat. And the crowd just, ooh.
Right.
That's what's missing. I don't hear that. I don't get that from Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Right, you're not going to get that.
You know, and I just think that, listen, I know that the rap, like any form of, you know, art form is subjective and there's different styles. You know, Kid and Play was about having fun. So I'm not saying that all rap needs to be conscious. It all needs to be street. It all needs to be serious. There's room for the playful shit.
Right.
But it's getting so silly that I'm going, where is this young generation's version of Biggie, Pac, Big L, Pun, Nas? Where they at?
Well, let me ask you this. What if you looked at what they're doing as a style? What if Gucci Gang, da-da-da-da-da-da, what if that's the new style?
Like, I'm going to just say this, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
And I put in my post, if you honestly took this young generation's group of rappers and made an all-star team, and then you took our era, it would be like the 92 Dream Team versus the Special Olympics. Like, it's not even close. It's not even close. What are we doing?
All right, now, I get it. I totally get it. He's throwing spears all day. But, like, you know, I don't, I look at it as I don't have to like it. I'm never going to be mad at a young black man who did something positive and didn't sell drugs and didn't go to jail and bought his mom a house with it. I'm not going to hate on that, even if I don't like it, even if it's not for me.
And you're not supposed to. But listen, that's nice. But that's almost like Chris Rock's joke. Man, I take care of my kids. Nigga, you supposed to.
Right.
So it's like, you know, yeah, doing positive. You young, you black, you get money. Bravo, nigga.
Right.
Mazel tov. But what about the art form? You're killing the franchise. Hip-hop is a franchise.
Well,
you're killing the franchise.
We also, our generation knew about the roots of the tree. Our generation was like the leaves from this small tree that was growing, you know? We knew who planted the seeds. And we understood what was happening underground there. and we were still kind of part of the rumblings of the underground. And now this tree's flourished. It's a big fucking tree, but these young kids don't know. They don't know or care who fucking planted this tree.
And that's, you should care.
No, I agree.
Well, listen, comedically, I could look at Step and Fetch It and Mantan Moreland and that era,
right?
And go, okay.
But they had to do what
they
had
to do that. Yeah. And I got to tip my hat to that, because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Right. Lately, I've been really busy juggling shows and being a dad, and I'm always looking for ways to maximize my time and be more productive with it. And listen, I know everyone can relate to wanting to be more productive, especially online business owners. Am I right? I mean, you started your online store, you're doing what you love, selling products people want, and the orders are coming in fast. But the hardest part is often shipping those products out. That's the part that can be a pain. But luckily, ShipStation makes it easy. Using ShipStation for your business will allow you to import orders from any sales channel, ship with any carrier using our deeply discounted rates, and automate just about any shipping task so that you can spend a lot less time on shipping and a lot more time growing your business. It's no wonder ShipStation is the number one shipping software for e-commerce sellers with more five-star reviews than anyone else. I'm telling you, no matter what you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation funnels all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. And I love that about ShipStation. I travel so much that if I appreciate anything that I can easily do right from my phone, it makes life a lot easier. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments. Now, is that the ship or what? So ship more in less time. Use my offer code PETERS to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and type in PETERS. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code PETERS. Let's make ship happen.
Well, you know, once again, you got to understand, going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, hip-hop is now officially a music genre. And because of that, because of what hip-hop is now, you know, it's like back, you know, when we first started, we understood it as a culture. It's something that we embrace as a culture. We lived and we wanted y'all to enjoy our experience. But now that it's a music genre for real, what's happening is, like, you know, just like anything else, any other corporation, any other thing that becomes commercialized, mass production. So therefore, when quantity comes in, quality goes out. You know,
right? Oh, but you don't think in the what they say from the 80s, but to the golden era of rap, the 90s, you don't think that we had crazy quantity with quality? It felt like you could the bums you could count on one hand.
Don't act like we ain't had no bums though. We had some bums in the 90s. We had some whack rappers in the
90s. Boom, stickity boom, boom. I'm still trying to
say
that.
They was dope though.
I wouldn't call them bums.
I wouldn't call them bums, Eric.
I wouldn't say bums, but come on, man. What the fuck?
We had a hammer. We had a hammer. And y'all didn't treat hammer. And when hammer was at his prime, y'all didn't treat hammer like y'all do now. Y'all was like, man, fuck that nigga.
I'm just saying, between the wardrobe and, let's be honest,
no,
some of the success. There's always envy, jealousy, but from what he did, he was necessary. But you could count those dudes on one hand.
We had some shit ones. We had the Skinny Boys.
Yes.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. They had
never
an. They were like trying to be the opposite of the Fat Boys. They had an album called Weightless, and me like a fucking idiot. I bought it. I remember the.
I bought everything.
Yeah, I mean it. So did I.
I like the Skinny Boys.
See, exactly. Were they from Brooklyn?
Nah, they from Connecticut. They
was
Connecticut.
That white? That's the.
No. What? The fuck are you saying, man? Nah, I was just saying they not from Brooklyn. They from Connecticut. Man, cut it out, man. Go ahead, man. You see how they setting me up?
I
like the Skinny Boys.
Was they white?
No, they were black dudes. Wow, this is a real conversation here.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, they never heard of it. Nah, it was black dudes.
It's a sense of entitlement now. I don't, you know, people want to get in without earning the proper dues to get in. Like, if dudes is on the basketball court playing back in the days, like the way they talk to you now is like, y'all had your turn. It's our turn now. It sounds yeah, but like you gotta a fucking think. Loser.
Our, no, no, but our loser. Generation did that too, because KRS-One said, remember? Old school artists don't well, need no. to burn.
But wait, he had skills. So, you know.
They didn't win their troop suits there.
But if you was trying to play basketball on the court and you wasn't good, they ain't let you play.
But here's the thing about that, to me, where I go.
And they threw your ball over the fence.
Right. It feels like it's
in Connecticut.
When they go, y'all old heads, y'all hating because we getting money. Y'all just mad because we getting money now. And I go, we don't hate you for the money. We hate you because you're lazy. You're right. Your penmanship is lazy.
Penmanship.
It ain't got nothing to do with getting money.
I don't even think there's a pen involved.
All right, so listen. Let's just say. And I'm only. I don't even know if I believe this, but I'm just saying it because I'm here. So when rap first started, when you 46, we around the same age. So when rap first came into the fold, the rap style was, I got something to something, man, something to something, man, da 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 da. I got a ba 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 ba. That's how everybody fucking rap.
Right.
Everybody rap like that.
But
let me finish. Let me finish.
Pre Run DMC,
and then guys like Run DMC come in. Guys like Kane come in, and they short. Mel shortened it up. So when he shortened it up with the message, it was motherfuckers that was from that era, the da da da, that was going, man, that shit ain't gonna never work.
Well, look, I certainly
they fucking up the game. Rap is this.
Anybody from the 80s, I don't want to disrespect, because one, they started it.
Facts.
So you gotta give them their props for starting it. Two, it hadn't found its legs yet. That's why they call the 90s the golden era, because it was the era where hip hop found itself. It grew its nuts. It was a baby when it started, so everybody's following the blueprint.
So you're saying it was a baby when it started, and right. Now it's a 30-year-old dumb adult, and you don't like it because it's a 30-year-old dumb adult.
No, it's an old motherfucking diaper shitting on itself. It's back to being an infant.
I need the analogies, because that's the only way you're going to make me understand it, Eric.
I'm just saying. Floor helmet music. Like, listen. When you look at Styles, Eminem, Nas, who did a song called Rewind, rap backwards.
Facts.
Biggie, Niggas Bleed. Yes. That story with the music and the melody is a Scorsese scene. Jay-Z, Snoop with his laid back style and cadence.
Right.
Andre 3000. Now today, every auto-tune. That's the majority.
Because that's their style.
And people go, yo, you gotta look for the diamonds in the rough,
right?
The J. Cole's, the Kendrick Lamar's,
right?
In our era, you didn't look; it was there,
right?
I didn't have to go find
now
it.
I will say that it ain't no balance like it was.
Well, that's because who's in control now? You know, I mean, you got to understand. You know, back then, hip hop was something new to radio and to labels. They ain't know what the hell to do with it. You know, people at the radio,
they didn't think it would last. Yeah,
people at the record labels, they just got through working a Stephanie Mills record. You know, Evelyn Champagne King record. They ain't even know what the hell to do with hip hop. You know, right now it's where we actually have hip hop A&Rs, hip hop, you know, like hip hop people that's raised off of hip hop that's running these labels. And what they're doing, the control that they have on it, I think is the main problem. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just saying we got to point the finger elsewhere. Because listen to what you're saying. With what you're saying, I think it's right, but the artists, they're not going to change up if that lane is right there for them. Like, where it's like, you know, nah, can you sound like the Migos? Can you do this? This is what we want. Nah, we ain't want nothing like that. Radio saying, nah, we don't want to play J. Cole. We don't want to play Rhapsody. We want to play all 19 of these motherfuckers that sound exactly alike. You know what I'm saying? So in a situation like that, you know, it's something that needs to change through radio, through media, and the blame can't just fall solely on the artists. Because if the artists see diversity, they will start to change with it, because they don't want to be left behind.
I said this in 1997 when they gave Cash Money Millionaires a $30 million deal, that they just paid Black America to get dumber. Because what they did was they said, here's $30 million. Sound as dumb as those guys or worse, and we'll give you more money. And that's where we're at today. Because if you think about the way these fucking kids speak nowadays, You listen to a kid speak nowadays with all what's available to them as far as education and opportunities go, and you listen to a kid, same young black kid in the 50s speaking, that kid in the 50s spoke better uneducated than these kids do with all the opportunity they have.
Dude, I'm a video game fanatic, and that's why I said when we talked about earlier, if I wanted to spark up, I'm like, when I got a ritual. When I hit my weed, I'm in my theater room. I'm on that PS, baby. And I remember I was playing 2K, and they got the soundtrack playing. And this one young dude and who raps like that said, something, something, my shit, all my shit be lit. Everything, including my jig. He said, jig. He meant jewelry. He reduced a several-syllable word to one
syllable.
My jig.
To make it fit.
Now, when you say there's a style, jig sounds like McDonald's and balloons, nigga.
I mean, my question is like, so we talked about the 80s, how they was rapping. Melvin came in and changed it. Run DMC did the one bar syllable. So now we count bars. Then we got in the 90s, the golden era. Later on, we got a whole bunch of dope. Everybody wanted to be bosses and mafioso Gotti's, and we selling all this crack and coke and all these songs, and now we got you surprised that we got the crack babies rapping. Like, who you think they parents was?
Yeah, we definitely spawned this generation.
Right. We definitely got some responsibility for it.
But I'm gonna go back to what Kane said. Okay, we know what the record company's agenda is, but isn't there something that we should be doing or could be doing within the rap community to go, we can't allow this?
There is something that we should be doing, but it's not being allowed.
Right.
Like, there is something that we should be doing, but there's a disconnect between my generation and even the Nas, Jay-Z generation with the generation of today. There's a disconnect, and I believe that it's done on purpose, because when I came in the industry, yo, I remember Jahlil from Houdini calling me in his room. I'm thinking he about to have some, you know, I'm about to see some titties and some ass. And he sat there, gave me game about the industry. He sat there, gave me game about the industry. I remember the first time I met Rick James, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not the first time. It's like the first time that I hung out with him as Big Daddy Kane.
Well, if you meet Rick James for the first time, you don't want game. You want the titties and ass. That's Rick James, nigga. Nah. Show me the coke, nigga. Yeah. Now, well, let's talk the gay.
He did bring that to the table afterwards. Right. But when we was at the photo shoot,
right,
nothing but game. He telling me about, you know, this, about that. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Right. Nothing but game. Meeting Barry White, same thing. Giving me game. Nothing but game. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we're in a situation now where it's like, I couldn't connect with Lil Uzi Vert. I couldn't connect with Kodak Black because of the disconnect that they have created. Right. Where it's like, yo, them old heads ain't relevant no more. Them old heads ain't relevant no more.
A lot of them grew up with fathers, too.
Let me just say one more thing. And then with us, it's like, you know, fuck them young dudes. They ain't real hip-hop. They sitting there mumbling. So, and that's a disconnect that's created where it's like, we should be able to converse with these cats and tell them, like, hey, man, this is what happened with me when I was your age, man. This is what I used to do. Hey, you ever tried this before? Like, you ever tried? Here's a unique way of writing. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I would love to do that with these dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to sit down with any of them and say, yo, can I be on your album? I'd rather sit down with them and explain the process of writing.
But at the end of the day, it all starts with, you possess the ability to begin with. So even if you wanted to reach out to those young kids, if they don't possess the ability, is it going to translate? Are you really reaching them? You got to have the talent to start with.
Well, that ain't even that. It's not just the ability. It's just them even taking time to listen to what you got to say. Because the minute you don't say what they want to hear, they turn it off. They don't listen to you no more. And like what Kane was saying with the radio wants to play, it kind of hurts, because what goes on is you do get cats that are original, that are dope. But once they say that's not what we checking for, now they gonna change up and try to do what was going on today instead of being original. The only thing that can save a lot of these new artists is independence. Is believing in yourself and investing the money into yourself, because you know what you're doing is dope. If you waiting for somebody to approve of what you're doing, I always say the greatest journeys, some of the greatest battles you're going to fight by yourself. And if you ain't ready to fight them by yourself, just quit now. Because if you waiting for somebody to give you approval that you dope and you know what you're doing is different and is far, it might be the next level. If you don't believe in that and invest in that, it's over.
And I would say, like, as far as these kids and how they – kids get music in a whole different way now. Everything is right here for them. Everything.
Any fucking jerk off can make a song and have it heard.
Right. And it don't got to get to the radio. They can become a star without leaving their room, or at least think they are, at least popular. So these labels are chasing what the kids are doing. They going to TikTok. It's the numbers to them. How many followers you got? Yep. Well, what was your last video? You had 80 million views. We got to sign this kid. Yep. Like, they have no fucking clue.
The same thing's happening in comedy.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, we've just given a lot of little kids loaded guns.
Motherfuckers can be can be funny on the gram, and then you put them in front of people, and they can't tell two jokes.
Yep. I remember that happened to me at the Improv when I went back when, what was that one that happened around Instagram time? It was a 4 or 5 second video. What was that one called? It was an app, huh?
Vine.
Right. I remember one night I'm hosting at the Improv, and this kid was on. I said, "What do you want me to say about you?" He goes, "You could tell him I have over 500,000 followers on Vine." I go, "No, seriously, what do you want me to say about you?" And he goes, "That's a big deal, man." I go, "Okay, pal." So he goes on and eats a fat dick on stage. Right. And then I went back on stage and go, "Give it up for whatever that kid," I said, whatever the kid's name was, I said his name. I said, "Give it up for so-and-so. Apparently he's really funny for 5 seconds at a time."
Which translates in real life. You know what I mean? Like, to them, man, it's a microwave. They put it in and hit a button and it's done fast.
But that's why I'm saying.
And it ain't good for you. It's not fucking, it's not soul food. Your mom didn't cook it.
Well, that
you
ain't good for you.
You just put it in the fucking microwave. What I'm saying, it's not made with love.
Your arteries enjoy it.
Right. It's not made with love. It's not health. It's just cooked fast.
But that's why I'm saying, even if someone like Kane or anybody else that's respectable says to you, "Sit down, let me give you game," it's great if they're willing to listen. Mm-hmm. It's great that you want to give it. But at the end of the day, you got to possess the ability to do something with it. Like, that's why it's like, from a comedic standpoint, people go, "Man, I want to learn to do comedy. I want to take a class." And I go, "That's the biggest waste of time." Yeah, at the end of the day, you either born with this
or you ain't.
Or you not. And if you born with it, now you the piece of clay that somebody can mold you with advice and shape you. But if you ain't got the skills to begin with.
Yeah, but they don't believe that. You know why? It's almost like nobody that's whack thinks they're whack. Well, they don't think they're whack. So when the guy, when the girl walks in front of the American Idol judges and she's singing and she's trash, they laughing at her. Simon's going to drag her. But everybody in her city sent her there. She thinks she's good.
But that's why we need Simons.
Right.
To give you that unfiltered truth.
We need gatekeepers.
Yeah.
That's what you're here for, bro.
Right.
Well, that's why my career is where it is.
The truth is like poetry, and nobody likes fucking poetry.
Facts.
Yeah.
Not real poetry.
Right.
Not that shit that you got to figure out if you want heroin, nigga.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where we're at. And
what is darkness? What is light? What is the animal inhabitants of the wolves in the woods? No, I get my flesh. The clock ticks, the big hand moves. Some people break free from the web's distress only to find out that life is jaded.
Yeah, I already tuned
that
out.
That shit.
The little finesse at the end.
Yeah,
there.
That.
I was gone.
No one likes that shit.
Right.
I don't know. I would put that on a t-shirt. I would.
All right, what else? What are we talking about next? I don't want to even give them the benefit this whole conversation.
We're
going to
transition
about the youngins.
We'll get there.
Some people need verbal spankings, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is just a verbal spanking.
I believe it.
You know, I don't believe in, you know, one of the things about this young generation that really I despise is this whole wokeness, political correctness.
It's fake.
Everything, an opinion now is hatred. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's not, you're allowed to have an opinion. You know what I mean? Every time I speak out on something, I'm having
you
an
hate.
Opinion.
They like, you hate.
But
you're
hating,
like,
you bitter,
opinion.
You old. Like, get the fuck out of here.
See, I appreciate your feed because of that. Like, you know, comedians are supposed to be the last truth tellers.
Facts.
You're not getting your information from the news anymore because you're getting biased news. Whether you watch CNN or Fox, you're going to get an opinion based on which side they lean to. And comedians were the last bastion of telling you exactly what the fuck it is. You know, we don't care what you like. We don't care if this is the side you're on or that's the side you're on. We're just telling it as it is, and people aren't fucking able to process that anymore.
Speaking of truth, I would like to hear some truth about this question, and this is posed to both of you. What is better pussy, rap pussy or comedy pussy?
Well, one has chlamydia. And the other one has low self-esteem. So I'll take that low self-esteem. A pill ain't going to fix it.
I can guess which one is which.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious.
Anytime I perform in the South, bitches bring me plates. I don't get panties. I get plates.
I don't get shit. I get
that's because you're Indian, nigga.
That's true. That is exactly the reason
your people have a way to catch up and cool.
Yeah, we got a ways to go. But I was lucky enough to go around the black community, so
there we go.
You know, I came up this way. So
Russell is a strange breed, baby.
I am a very different breed.
Facts. This is true.
Do you dread looking at your credit card statement every month? I know I do. I don't blame you. There's nothing fun about credit card debt, but Upstart can help lift the weight off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being free of credit card debt. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan, and it's all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over half a million people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike the others, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score. They also consider your income, your employment history, and that means they can offer you smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see a rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000, and you can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Peters. That's upstart.com/Peters. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Peters to see what Upstart can do for you today.
No.
Leaving it alone.
Yeah, okay. I ain't touching that shit.
Kane's like, married now. Are you?
Oh, shit. Okay.
Ain't trying to ruin his marriage.
I got you. Kane, like, that's a long time ago.
Kane was like, I never got pussy before my wife. Mm. I did Playgirl, but that was for the money.
Oh, man. Damn, you did do that.
Did he really?
With Madonna. What you mean?
No, the Playgirl wasn't with Madonna.
Okay. Yeah.
But the Madonna thing was her book.
Yes. You got.
Kane just mistook his wine glass for a microphone.
The same way you were, right. Like this, my whole like fanboy moment.
Right.
I'll never forget. And he knows how I feel about it.
Right.
I never forget. We was in North Carolina. It was me, Jeff, and Darnell. You know how big of a Jay-Z fan Darnell is. So our road manager Darnell, we in the van. We land in North Carolina to go to a gig or something. And we land and we're arguing about Jay-Z and Biggie. And he's just going to, he's like, Hove is the guy. I'm like, man, listen, bro. Like, Hove is amazing. But I can't put anybody in front of the person that they were influenced by. I can't do
right,
it.
Right.
So the van loops back, and we have no idea this is about to happen. The guy goes, yeah, man, I got to pick up another person to go to the venue or to go to the hotel. You guys mind just we looping back around? I just grab. So we come back around. The van opens up. Big Daddy Kane gets into the van. And I'm fanboying out like, oh, fuck. Kane is in the fucking van. Kane like, what's up, brothers? And we just like, what's up? We like, yeah, he like, yo, Kane like, yo, so we going to the hotel now? They like, yeah. So I'm just like, so what was you saying about Hov? I'm trying to push my man. Like, what was you saying about Hov? So he like I said, Jay-Z is the And I said, I never think, I looked back at Kane and I said, this is my friend. I said, this is my homeboy, but he believes that because Biggie and Jay-Z were after right. you, he don't understand that without him, without you, there could be no Biggie or Jay-Z. And Kane goes, and that's your man?
And that was it. Like, that was it. Yo, when I tell you he sunk down in the seat so heavy, because I'm such a Big Daddy Kane fan, like, I was ready to argue him to the death, and I had the proof in the car with me. Like, and Kane, he just said, cool as a motherfucking fan. In Big Daddy Kane-esque, he just went, and that's your man? Like, and that was it. Do you remember that?
Nah, man.
It was such a dope moment, man. It was such a dope moment.
Funny thing is, I actually met you once. It was during the Shaq's All-Star Comedy Jam. I think it was in Phoenix. And you breezed through. And, you know, I was, you know, nervous and shit. I said hello. And you was just cool. You just was like, what's up? And just left it at that. So I didn't want to push it, but you know, you always get nervous when you meet people that you kind of look up to, because you scared they're either gonna let you down or
yeah.
So, but you was cool, man. You was very cool.
I remember meeting you on Melrose. I was getting ready to walk into a store, and you was in your whip, and you hollered at me, and I just was like, peace. And then you said your name, and I was like, nah, I know who the hell you are.
Right.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
shit.
That was on Melrose, yeah.
You know what's crazy, man, is I've been doing this 36, 31 years, and it's like when I meet the people that I came up with, I know I know them. I don't ever expect them to know me. I just and so when that happens, you're thrown aback like, this motherfucker know me. So it just it throws you. It just throws you.
You know what it is? Because we fanboy, and because they know us,
right?
We were hoping they'd fanboy too. Right. You know what I mean? The first time I met Slash from Guns N' Roses, I was doing a George Lopez show, and I'm in the green room, and it's literally just me and Slash standing there. I go, oh, hey, Slash. My name's Russell Peters. I'm a comedian. I'm on the show with you tonight. He goes, without lifting his head, he goes, yeah, man, I know who you are. And I go, when you hear that, you almost go, I know who you are. I think you suck. That's what we hear.
Right.
Because we're so shit on ourselves.
Right.
And then he goes, I go, oh, you do? He goes, yeah, man, I was on tour in Europe just recently, and we were watching you on our tour bus. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, I have a new DVD. Do you want it?
It's like, you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I first met Kane on 125th Street. Never forget it. Know it like yesterday. He was in front of Dapper Dan's. The black and gold MCM suit, 3/4.
Okay.
He was driving a black Volvo.
White.
White?
White Volvo.
I know it was a Volvo.
Yeah.
But I remember, I was like, oh, shit, that's Kane. I fanned out, but I get cool and... Yo, you mind you giving the autograph of my girl? You know,
I figured, can you sign this for my girl? Her name's Lord Finesse.
Oh, man, this dude is the worst.
She's crazy. But I figured I'm going to score points with my girl. I come in with a Big Daddy Kane autograph. It's on. I'm going to get what I want that night. But then I remember meeting him again when I became an artist. And I used to always be around Scoop and Scrap. And I met him, and I was like, yo, man, you know, it's an honor to meet you. Yo, I'm Lord Finesse. And he did the same thing. Yeah, I know who you are. And, yo, I was listening to your album. Yo, this shit was dope. Man, that, like, I ain't even need to go further in my career after that.
Could have stopped right there.
Because when you acknowledged by your heroes and icons, and you going for something to be just as great one day, and they say, yo, I listened to it, this shit is good. I mean, this came before the money part of the industry. Mm-hmm. It was just being able to be a part of the hip hop part of it and contributing and knowing that whatever it is, you made your mark, and the money came later. I think if you be consistent and you do what you do, everything else will come. But the heroes that inspired you, and you get that acknowledgement from them, oh man, that's a whole
nother
level.
You ever met somebody that let you down? A hero that made you feel like, damn, like they didn't, you know what I mean? They came off shitty or...
Well, I think motherfuckers that let me down, I ain't give a fuck about anyway. So, I've met people where, you know, I'm thinking they cool and they ain't cool. And it's like, in my mind, I'm cursing nigga out. Fuck you.
See, that's why I was always scared, because I'm a Michael Jordan fanatic. But I was always scared to meet Mike because I heard different stories about his personality. And I always felt like if I meet him, ain't shit on me, he gonna
that's
make
gonna
me
fuck
lie
shit up, yeah.
And say some shit like, man, that why LeBron better than you. Knowing I don't mean that shit.
Right. he gonna force you to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, nah, they say never meet your heroes, man. That's what they say.
That's true. But I got lucky and all the heroes I met so far.
So you never met nobody?
I met people. They weren't like idols.
The people that I met that I wanted to meet, other than I never met Jordan, I met Ali, brought me to tears. I'm a Mike Tyson fanatic.
Right.
Mike was kind of cool, but you got to meet him at the right time.
Right.
I put you on that Zoom call with him last year.
Yeah. So, other than that, Jordan's the only person that I never met that I would like. My jaw would hit the floor.
I'm not even a basketball fan, but if I met Jordan, I would geek out.
Yeah. You don't want the chameleon-aire vibes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You don't want him to look at you and say,
I met Jordan.
I don't take pictures
in the
with 80s, niggas.
out here.
Right.
See, that's when you were Big Daddy Kane. Yeah. And that he was Michael Jordan, but you were Big Daddy Kane.
But he wasn't Michael Jordan yet.
Yeah.
In the 80s,
he was Michael
Jordan yet.
He was Michael Jordan. He wasn't Jordan.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of them type of things where, you know, it was, you know, one type of things where, you know, you could feel that, like, you know, a dude ain't want to really be bothered, you know, so I just, like, hey, man, you know, you great, man. I'm a big fan of you, what you do, man. Respect your work, man. Go and enjoy your night, man.
Right.
Was he receptive?
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
He was short and sweet.
He was like, yeah, you know, I think he gave me a fist bump or something like that. So, you know, I just kept it moving.
I heard Jordan's cool when you meet him if you don't ask him for a photo or an autograph.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because that's the one fucking thing you want.
That.
But I also think you have to meet him. Like, if you met him through someone.
Right.
If Charles Barkley said, hey, MJ,
this is my man. He's going to treat
then
you different.
But if you're just some random dude, MJ, then it's like, man, I heard all this before.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is
like you don't want to get the chameleonaire shit when he just was like, yeah, man, you know, I just wonder if I could take a picture with you.
Like if
said,
I wasn't a...
I don't take pictures with niggas. Yeah, wow. Just left him there.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
To chameleonaire?
Yeah.
I mean...
I think he had a basketball and everything. He was just like, but he said it like... I don't take pictures with niggas.
But he's taking so many.
Right.
So that's
right.
maybe even why he was arguing.
Especially since Jordan's a kabillionaire.
Right. I think he said he was at a restaurant. He darted to like the sports store and got a ball and shit. He was like, this shit about to happen for me.
Look, as much as I love fast food, I know that I can't eat it all the time. But cooking can be consuming and annoying. So it's hard to motivate me to do it. Like, really difficult to do that. But now that I'm using HelloFresh, cooking is no big deal for me. I mean, it's still kind of a big deal for me, but it's fast, it's easy, and all the recipes are right there and they're really delicious. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. I can tell you right now that my mouth is actually watering. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You know I love a deal, right? So believe me when I tell you that HelloFresh is a great deal. It's 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than going to a restaurant. And the thing is, their meals taste like amazing restaurant meals. So it's a win-win situation. I think the best thing for me is how much flexibility I have with HelloFresh. My schedule changes all the time, so I need flexibility. And with HelloFresh, I can skip orders when I know I won't be home, and I can customize my box every week so that if I have friends staying with me, there's enough food for them too. I can even double up on my kids' favorite recipes to keep them happy. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Who needs that many chicken nuggets? Hey, they give me options, which is super helpful. It really makes my life a lot easier. So go to HelloFresh.com/12Peters. And use code 12Peters for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/12Peters. That's the number 12 and my last name, Peters. And use code 12Peters for 12 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Let me tell you
something.
And it didn't
happen.
I think that because we both comedians... You know, we in the comedy game. This is a class.
Right.
First time I met Paul Mooney, and this is my cheap way of segueing into a Paul Mooney impression.
Absolutely.
But Paul is one of the goats.
Right.
But if he don't know you, he could be very assholish.
Right.
Yes. So I'm Paul and you're meeting me. And you just talk to me for a second.
Paul Mooney, man. How you doing, man? Nice to meet you, man. My name is Eric Spears. I'm a young comedian coming up.
Nigga, I'm fine, nigga. I am fine. I'm fine. You don't need to ask me how I am. Okay. See how I am. I'm by my goddamn self, nigga. You know how the fuck I am, nigga. Please.
But you know what? Thing is, that's the perfect way for a comedian. You would expect that, though.
But we don't want that, though.
Nah,
not
fuck that.
Comic to comic, we don't want to hear that.
Listen, as a comic, I'll never forget. Y'all motherfuckers have no code. It's always funny. I won't forget the time that we was on tour, or we went to one of your shows, and Chris Rock was on a bus. It might have been Chris Rock and somebody else when he was going to the venue. Whitney Houston had died not 24 hours earlier. And y'all was fucking going ham with the jokes. And then you went, too soon? And we all was like, come on, Russell. And you was like, I mean, but is it ever really too soon?
It's
like,
it's never soon.
It was always a joke.
All right, so let me ask you this in terms of too soon. Remember when my man, I forget which one it was, but the dude from Crisscross passed away.
Right, Chris Kelly, RIP, God bless.
About 4 days into the passing, I was on stage, and somebody in the audience was like, yo, dude from Crisscross died. And I was like, damn, that's fucked up. I wonder if they're going to put him in the casket backwards.
We are fucking good. You...
I remember the day Michael Jackson died, I tweeted, I said it's a sad day for music and the Jackson 4 tour's gonna suck.
Listen, as comedians, can I ask y'all, because that's something that maybe just us regular humans who don't tell jokes for a living understand.
We call y'all civilians.
Is that a code? Is it a code like whoever, if it's funny, it's funny?
Yep.
It is, but the problem is the funny is always going to be the butt of somebody.
Right.
It has
so it's
to
funny
be.
To everybody else but them. I'm going to give you one more. And I think he stopped following me because of this. Dwayne Wade was following me on Twitter. And this was right around the time he was playing bad. Like, he went through a stretch.
Right.
And after one game, he played so bad, I tweeted, yo, D-Wade shouldn't even shower after the game because he's already washed up.
Wow. Wowzers.
So, you know, it's a thin line between joke and not.
Right.
Well, it's a joke to us. It ain't a joke to them. That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is. Funny. And it's not like y'all would say it and everybody's going to go, ooh, that was cold. You shouldn't have said that. Somebody's going to laugh. And
of course.
That's the point.
Of course.
If the point is that if one motherfucker in the room falls out laughing, then the joke works.
Hey, that's how we look at it.
Yep. You've done your job.
Ooh, and then you're going to get a laugh.
Listen, you ain't a real comic till somebody wants to fight you.
True.
Wow.
And I've had several incidences where people in the audience wanted to come to blows.
And what's so crazy is
I'm not even a Crisscross fan, and I want to fight your ass.
That
right
was
now.
Cold. That was so. Let me ask you this.
Hold on, Aries just jumped.
You do a hell of a DMX impression.
Uh-huh.
We just lost X. God bless.
Right.
If somebody did an X joke, would that rub you the wrong
not
way?
Not at all. Not at all. I just wouldn't do the X joke
because you
because
knew
you
him.
Used you and you it was your friend, right?
He scared the shit out of me, man.
Right.
I let me tell you, when I came out with my comedy CD, just right around the time Jay-Z was doing a concert at the Staples Center, so I went down there. I hung out with Meth, and me and Redman. We all went together. So I was trying to get as many celebrity endorsements as I could. So I saw this one. I saw this one. I said, "Yo, can you just hold up the CD? Give me a shout out on camera, support my man." And everybody did it. Busta, everybody, Snoop. So finally I seen X. And on the CD, I did a bunch of crank calls. So I did a crank call of DMX calling First AME Baptist Church, talking to Reverend Murray about the beef with Ja Rule. So X kind of heard about it. And I said, yo, X, can we? He said, yo, dog, come with me. So I walk into the locker room. And I'm all his boys come in there, and there's only one way in and one way out.
Right.
Me and X stand in the middle, and his boys all make a circle around us. And the bodyguard, the last one comes in, slams the door, and just stands in front of the door. And I said, X, can you, with my CD? Dog, my voice, I heard some things. I don't know. If it's good, yeah. If it's not, and then the motherfucker proceeded, and this is how I know I'm black, but I ain't black. Right. This nigga pulls out a razor blade from underneath his tongue, and he had the ability to talk with it without cutting himself. Right. Now, I'm Huxtable's black. That's good times, nigga. Right. That shit, I saw that shit.
It's a fine line between, were you scared?
Yes, nigga.
Listen.
Suge Knight scared.
I remember one time being at a Lil Wayne show in Hampton, Virginia. Lil Wayne is at his height. And I'm walking, you know, I got a pass. Shut up. Popularity, I mean. I'm walking through the venue.
Just before you can finish the story, Lil Wayne,
right.
Don't scare me because that nigga looks like a gargoyle.
Overlooking
the skyscraper in New York.
This is what it is. I come out of catering, and I'm walking up the hallway. And it's these dudes that work security. They used to do security for Missy. They call the Four Horsemen. Huge. They all brothers. They all from Virginia. Huge. And I see two of them walking with Floyd Mayweather, walking towards me. So I'm like, oh, shit, it's Money May. Damn. And you know, I'm doing the wrap-ups. I'm throwing motherfuckers under the bus every year. The wrap-up is out. And I see Floyd, and he like, I said, oh, shit, what's up, Floyd? He was like, what up? He said, yo, I heard your song. I said, yeah, which one? He said, the one about me, nigga.
Floyd said that?
And balled his hands up. And I was like, I'm about to get snuffed by Floyd Mayweather. Wow. The Virginia security guards knew me. So they like, yeah, nah, this boss man, like, skill, fuck VA, like, nigga, this. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then he goes, I'm just fucking with you, nigga. That shit was funny as a motherfucker. I was like, oh, my God. Like, when he stopped and said, the one about me, nigga, because I think that was the year he had did something in the WWF, right. And the shit just looked corny. And I was
broke
like,
the kid's nose,
yeah,
too.
I was like, yo, Floyd, like, what the fuck you doing? You right. Like, it was an ill punchline.
Right.
And I'm not thinking Floyd Mayweather's going to hear the song. Motherfucker said, the one about me, nigga, and balled his hands up. And I was like, good night. Done deal.
I'm gonna tell you. Speaking of Floyd, the night he fought Manny Pacquiao, and you know everybody went to that fight.
I was there.
So okay, so the fight's over. Everybody's spilling out into the streets, and boom, there's Allen Iverson. So there's a crowd of people around Allen, AI. But then out of nowhere, everybody flocks from Allen over to this way, and it was like Allen was nobody then. So everybody like, yo, who the fuck are they going to? Jay-Z and Beyonce are walking hand in hand, and everybody's around them. So I just happened to, when I got out there, my stride was right next to Hov and Beyonce. And again, I kind of fanboyed a little bit. I was like, yo, Hov, man, I'm a big fan. I love your shit. He goes, I know who you are, nigga. I know who you are. Because, you know, I done
right, you
murdered
did it
him
a million times.
So
right.
many times. Right. So yes, when sir. He said, I know who you are, it was, I know who you are.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. So, yeah, you get that, but I'll take it.
It's weird, man, because it's like you don't expect these people to know you. And then when they say they do, it's in a way that you like, damn, like the internet made us all closer in a way.
But nothing feels better than when they love you and they give you that love
back
in abundance.
Facts.
But you ain't do Jay Greasy, though, man.
I said the Joe Camel shit in the lips.
I mean, you didn't do that to him, though.
Right.
That's not your fault.
Right, right. But, you know, Shaq loves it. Shaq's the biggest kid. And I did Miami Improv one night. I'm leaving. I go to the club down on South Beach. Shaq's coming out. I'm coming in. Yo, Diesel, what up, sir? You don't make fun of me. I love when you make fun of me, nigga. That's just hilarious, man.
Right.
So, you know, Shaq loves it.
Right. Some people can take a joke and some people can't.
Yeah,
I'm mad, Jason. I know
you
are, nigga.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to Culturally Canceled. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. I say conversation, but really, it was a discussion and it was a shit show. I loved it. I'm really excited to tell you this. Now, Culturally Canceled has a phone line now, so now you can call and leave a message and ask me a question that I might answer on the show. Ask me about, you know, about music, food, comedy, boxing, whatever, MMA, whatever you want to ask me about. If I have an answer, I'll give it to you. If not, well, your question won't get answered. But let's play it by ear and see what happens. It's our little nod to the ways of old school radio shows. So Let's have fun with it. Now, remember, the number is 424-666-1983. Ironically, the Iron Maiden album Number of the Beast did not come out in 1983, but it did come out in the early 80s. So it's 424-666-1983. If you love our podcast, even if you like it, be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about it. And if you didn't like it and you don't love it, go fuck yourself. We don't need you to listen. You know what I mean? And if you are listening and you're a hater, I don't need to hear your negative comments. Let's keep the shit positive, folks. And follow us on Instagram at Culturally Canceled and Culturally RP on Twitter. We're also on YouTube if you want to see what my backyard looks like in real life. Well, you're not actually going to see the whole backyard, but you'll see the smoking section. Come on, be nosy. You can even poke your head around the back in the distance in the background. You might see the DJ room and the bar, but whatever. Have a look at us on YouTube. And until next week, keep it real.